स्वामी प्रभु की,
श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्रील गुरुदेव की।
सभी उपस्थित भक्तों का हम हार्दिक स्वागत करते हैं। We would like to welcome all the devotees and the assembled guests. कृष्णानंद यशोदा दुला गिरिवर धारी गोपाल
कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य
नमः
नमः
पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तु ते कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या गदाधर सादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम we will take one verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita to continue, and after that we will try to explain the importance of Bhagavad Gita, how Bhagavad Gita can play an important role in our life through one story of Sripad Yamunacharya. Because just we came from South India Yatra, and yesterday me and Madhav Verma Prabhu were sitting next to each other taking prasadam. He requested me to tell him something about South India Yatra. So I told him that Shiv Kumar Prabhu and me will speak some later time. But since it depicts the importance of Bhagavad Gita, I will take that story. So primarily today, because we don't have much time, I will speak in English. So if anybody can do Hindi translation, it is fine. Otherwise, I will speak in between Hindi also, so that it is not very difficult to understand. So आज का जो है प्रवचन मैं अंग्रेजी में दूंगा, बहुत ज़्यादा समय हमारे पास नहीं है. तो अगर जो हिंदी सुनना चाहते हैं, बिल्कुल अंग्रेजी समझ में नहीं आती है, तो आप पीछे जा सकते हैं, तो कोई आपके लिए ट्रांसलेशन करेगा. नहीं तो मैं कोशिश करूँगा कि थोड़ा हिंदी में भी बोलूँ, तो आपके समझ में आए कि स्टोरी क्या चल रही है. तो हम भगवद गीता यथारूप से पढ़ रहे हैं, और यथारूप में अभी हम 23वें श्लोक तक पहुँचे हैं गई बार. तो बहुत ज़्यादा समय न बिताते हुए, थैंक यू रत्नेश प्रभु, तो हम 24वां श्लोक बोलेंगे. तो मैं निवेदन करूँगा दो प्रभुजी भक्त और दो माताजी से, इसको तुरंत पढ़ के और फिर हम आगे का स्टोरी बोलेंगे. श्रीमद् भगवद गीता यथारूप की सो अध्याय पहला, कुरुक्षेत्र के युद्ध स्थल में सैन्य निरीक्षण, वर्स 24. सो भगवद गीता वाला पार्ट मैं हिंदी में ही बोलता हूँ, और बाद में यमुनाचार्य की स्टोरी हम इंग्लिश में बोलेंगे. संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्. संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुड़ा केशे न भारत सेन योरुभयोर मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम् संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम् संजय उवाच संजय उवाच एव मुक्त्वा ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत ोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम् संजय उवाच एव मुक्तो ऋषिकेशो गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्
Synonymous, kindly repeat. Sanjay Uvacha.
Sanjay Uvacha.
Sanjay ne kaha.
Sanjay ne kaha.
Evam.
Evam.
Is prakar.
Is prakar.
Uktah.
Uktah.
Kahe gaye.
Rishikesha.
Rishikesha. Bhagwan Krishna ne.
Bhagwan Krishna.
Gudakeshena.
Gudakeshena.
Arjun dwara.
Arjun dwara.
Bharata.
Bharata.
He Bharat ke vanshaj.
He Bharat ke vanshaj.
Senayoh.
Senayoh.
Senao ke.
Senao ke.
Ubhayoh.
दोनों
मध्ये
मध्य में
स्थापयित्वा खड़ा करके रथ उत्तमम उस उत्तम रथ को अनुवाद और तात्पर्य श्रील प्रभुपाद जी के द्वारा संजय ने कहा हे भरतवंशी अर्जुन द्वारा इस प्रकार संबोधित किए जाने पर भगवान कृष्ण ने दोनों दलों के बीच में उस उत्तम रथ को लाकर खड़ा कर दिया तात्पर्य श्री प्रभुपाद जी द्वारा इस श्लोक में अर्जुन को गुड़ाकेश कहा गया है गुड़ाका का अर्थ है नींद और जो नींद को जीत लेता है वह है गुड़ाकेश नींद का अर्थ अज्ञान भी है अतः अर्जुन ने कृष्ण की मित्रता के कारण नींद तथा अज्ञान दोनों पर विजय प्राप्त की थी कृष्ण के भक्त के रूप में वह कृष्ण को क्षण भर के लिए भी नहीं भुला पाया क्योंकि भक्त का स्वभाव ही ऐसा होता है यहाँ तक कि चलते अथवा सोते हुए भी कृष्ण के नाम रूप गुणों और लीलाओं के चिंतन से भक्त कभी भी मुक्त नहीं रहता अतः कृष्ण का भक्त उनका निरंतर चिंतन करते हुए नींद तथा अज्ञान दोनों को जीत सकता है इसी को कृष्ण भावनामृत या समाधि कहते हैं प्रत्येक जीव की इंद्रियों तथा मन के निर्देशक अर्थात ऋषिकेश के रूप में कृष्ण अर्जुन के मंतव्य को समझ गए कि वह क्यों सेनाओं के मध्य में रथ को खड़ा करवाना चाहता है अतः उन्होंने वैसा ही किया और फिर वे इस प्रकार बोले तो हम देखें कि पिछले कुछ दिनों से जो हम भगवद्गीता यथारूप की चर्चा कर रहे हैं तो हम देखते आए हैं कि भगवद्गीता की जो शुरुआत होती है वो धृतराष्ट्र कहता है धर्म क्षेत्र कुरुक्षेत्र समवेता युद्धोत्सव और वो संजय से प्रश्न पूछते हैं कि संजय मेरे पुत्रों ने और पांडवों के पुत्रों ने क्या किया जबकि उसको पता था कि कोई युद्ध भूमि में अगर कोई जाके खड़ा हुआ है तो युद्ध ही करेगा लेकिन वो संधि नहीं चाहता था और इसीलिए उसने इस प्रकार प्रश्न किया फिर वर्णन आता है कि किस प्रकार दुर्योधन द्रोणाचार्य के पास जाकर अपनी सेना के बारे में और पांडवों की सेना के बारे में वर्णन करने लगा और उस समय भीष्म पितामह ने बहुत जोर से शंखनाद की ध्वनि की और भगवान श्री कृष्ण अर्जुन और पांडव इत्यादि उन्होंने अपने शंख बजाए और वर्णन आता है कि इनके शंखों ने
धृतराष्ट्र के जो पुत्र थे उनके हृदय को विदीर्ण कर दिया। और प्रभुपाद जी लिखते हैं कि ऐसा कोई वर्णन नहीं है, जब उस पार्टी ने शंख बजाया तो इनके जो हृदय थे वो विदीर्ण हो गए। तो कहने का मतलब है कि मैच इज फिक्स्ड, पहले पता था क्या होने वाला है कि पांडवों की पार्टी जीतने वाली है। और फिर युद्ध की आशा से जो आए हुए लोग थे उनको अर्जुन देखना चाहता था कि ऐसे कौन से दुर्बुद्धि व्यक्ति है जो दुर्योधन के साथ मिलके युद्ध करने के लिए हमारे साथ आए हैं, मैं उनको नजदीक से देखना चाहता हूँ। उस प्रकार भगवान कृष्ण को उन्होंने कहा, जो लास्ट श्लोक में हमने चर्चा की थी, वे कहते हैं कि मुझे उन लोगों को देखने दीजिए जो यहाँ पर धृतराष्ट्र के दुर्बुद्धि पुत्र दुर्योधन को प्रसन्न करने की इच्छा से लड़ने के लिए आए हुए हैं। तो संजय इस प्रकार धृतराष्ट्र को बताते हैं कि हे भरतवंशी, कि भरत के वंशज धृतराष्ट्र, अर्जुन द्वारा इस प्रकार संबोधित किए जाने पर भगवान कृष्ण ने दोनों दलों के बीच में उस उत्तम रथ को लाकर खड़ा कर दिया। तो दोनों पार्टी खड़ी है, उसके बीच में भगवान रथ को लेके आए। और प्रभुपाद जी इस तात्पर्य में बहुत ही उत्कृष्ट एक वर्णन करते हैं। और ये वर्णन सोच के स्वयं मतलब मैं अपने आप को योग्य ही नहीं समझता कि हम यहाँ बैठ के इस तरह चर्चा कर सकते हैं। प्रभुपाद जी इसमें कहते हैं कि इसमें अर्जुन को गुड़ाकेश कहा गया है। ऐसा कल रात को ही हम लोग बहुत देर तक चर्चा कर रहे थे और आज रात को आज सुबह बहुत देर समय उठा तो जय विजयन प्रभु, प्रशांत प्रभु, थापा प्रभु और प्रभु जी का क्या नाम है, अमर प्रभु, ये चार आए प्रसाद बनाने के लिए और मैं कोई हेल्प नहीं कर पाया, मैं थोड़ा प्रिपरेशन करने की कोशिश कर रहा था। तो हम कह सकते हैं कि बहुत लेट सोए इसके लिए लेट उठे, लेकिन मैं जल्दी नहीं उठता तो ये सीख मेरे लिए है कि नींद को जीतना चाहिए। तो प्रभुपाद जी कहते हैं कि गुड़ाका का अर्थ है नींद और जो गुड़ाकेश है अर्जुन उसने जिसने नींद को जीत लिया है। और प्रभुपाद जी और भी कहते हैं कि नींद का अर्थ अज्ञान भी है, तो जो नींद और अज्ञान दोनों पे विजय प्राप्त कर लेता है उसको गुड़ाकेश कहते हैं। तो जो कृष्ण भावनामृत में आता है और कृष्ण भावनामृत को अपने जीवन में उतारने का प्रयत्न करता है वह नींद और अज्ञान दोनों पे विचार प्राप्त कर सकता है। और प्रभुपाद जी यहाँ पर कहते हैं कि कृष्ण के भक्त के रूप में वह कृष्ण को क्षण भर के लिए भी नहीं भूल पाया। तो एक भगवान का जो भक्त होता है वो भगवान को हर क्षण याद करता है, कभी भी उसे भूल नहीं पाता। लेकिन कभी कभी जीवन में ऐसे प्रसंग आते हैं, ऐसी घटनाएं घटती है कि थोड़े देर के लिए टेम्पररली कोई व्यक्ति ऐसा लगता है कि भगवान को भूल गया, लेकिन वह सिर्फ उसी प्रकार होता है जिस प्रकार एक बादल सूर्य को आच्छादित कर देते हैं और ऐसा लगता है कि सूर्य अस्त हो गया, लेकिन सूर्य कभी अस्त नहीं होता, वो सदैव प्रकाशमान होता है। तो उसी प्रकार भक्त और भक्त का हृदय जो है वह भी सदा कृष्ण प्रेम से प्रकाशमान होता है। कभी कभी अज्ञान या किसी चीज का उसके ऊपर पर्दा पड़ जाता है और फिर भगवान उसको हेल्प करते हैं कि किस प्रकार से उस पर्दे को वो हटावे और फिर वो भगवान से मिल जाए। तो ऐसा एक उत्कृष्ट उदाहरण एक महान वैष्णव आचार्य का हुआ है, उसके बारे में हम चर्चा करने का प्रयास करेंगे। और यहाँ पर प्रभुपाद जी कहते हैं कि यहाँ तक कि चलते अथवा सोते हुए भी कृष्ण के नाम रूप गुणों तथा लीलाओं के चिंतन में भक्त कभी मुक्त नहीं रह सकता। तो हम ये सब स्टोरी जानते हैं कि हर समय अर्जुन जो था वो भगवान श्री कृष्ण का चिंतन करता था। जब भगवान उससे मिलने के लिए गए और वो अपने खेमे में सो रहा था तब भी वो भगवान का ही नाम ले रहा था। और हम वर्णन कर रहे थे कि किस प्रकार हम लोग जब भगवान का नाम लेने लगते तभी सो जाते हैं। तो श्रीपाद यमुनाचार्य के जीवन में एक ऐसी घटना घटी, नो नो इंग्लिश बोलो, नाउ इंग्लिश, थैंक यू फॉर रिमाइंडिंग। सो वी हैड जस्ट बीन टू साउथ इंडिया यात्रा, साउथ इंडिया वी विजिटेड टू कन्याकुमारी, रामेश्वरम एंड श्रीरंगम। सो इन श्रीरंगम इज एक्चुअली द हब, you know, the most important place for Sri Vaishnavas, and the most prominent acharya in Sri Vaishnava is Sripad Ramanujacharya, who actually created a revolution and brought Vaishnavism in the world, defeating Mayavad philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya. And Prabhupada glorifies Sripad Ramanujacharya very extensively. Ramanujacharya had many gurus, but the most prominent guru which Sripad Ramanujacharya had was Sripad Yamunacharya. Although they never met together, still he was guru of Sripad Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya accepted and took teachings from many other gurus like श्री कांचीपूर्ण, श्री शैलपूर्ण, श्री गोष्ठीपूर्ण, श्री महापूर्ण, श्री मलधर, लाइक दैट सो मेनी डिवोटीज. सो वी शुड ऑल्सो अंडरस्टैंड दैट ऑल्दो वी माइट हैव वन दीक्षा गुरु, बट वी शुड ऑल्सो टेक यू नो टीचिंग्स फ्रॉम यू नो ऑल द गुरुज इन इस्कॉन, एंड वी शुड गिव इक्वल रिस्पेक्ट टू एवरी वन. सो इन साउथ इंडिया दिस श्रीपाद यमुनाचार्य also known as Alavandara. Alavandara means he is the conqueror. So Yamunacharya was born around AD 918 in the city of Madurai in South India, which was then the capital of Pandya kings, you know. So Chola kings, Pandya kings, and you know those, so other provinces were there. So this belonged to Pandya kings. His grandfather was very well known scholar and a devotee named Nath Muni. He was known as Nath Muni, who was very famous for his mystic abilities and expertise in the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. Indeed, it was Nath Muni who first compiled the songs of Namma Alwar. There are many Alwars in South India, prominently 12 Alwars who have given you know, kind of the siksha and the love and devotion for the Lord. And he compiled many songs of Namma Alwar. Nath Muni's son was a very handsome, intelligent young man. His name was Ishwara Muni, who had married to a very beautiful lady. Shortly after their wedding, Ishwara Muni traveled along with his family, with his wife and parents, to visit holy places of pilgrimage in northern India. So we should understand that the concept of honeymoon is this: when somebody gets married, you should go and visit the dham. So they went to northern side of India, because they were from South India. They decided to go to North India. We are from South India. We went to North India. Went to South India this time. So Vrindavan they visited, and in Vrindavan, as His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj describes, he said that they saw, you know, very beautiful Yamuna River, all the 12 forest of Vrindavan, Khandirvan, Mandirvan, Mahavan, Madhuvan, so many of other places. They visited and saw the beautiful darshan of many, many holy deities of Vrindavan, the Lord. And then they returned from their pilgrimage. Shortly after their return, Ishwara Muni's wife gave birth to a very exalted child. The baby was born. And Nath Muni, since he was remembering so fondly the Vrindavan and Yamuna, so in the memory of the sacred river Yamuna, which flows through Vrindavan, he named that boy as Yamuna. So he was named as Sri Yamuna. However, the joy of this family soon vanished, because soon after you know, the birth of Yamunacharya, after a few months, his father passed away. And Nath Muni, he was so distressed from this this thing, that actually he renounced the world. He became sannyasi and went. So Yamuna was left with a widow mother, and he was, you know, brought up like that. When he was 5 years old, Yamunacharya went to study at the school of Bhashyacharya. So there was a very nice devotee called Bhashyacharya, and quickly won his teacher's affection, love, because of his ability to grasp the subject matter very, very fast, and due to his gentle behavior and humility. And he studied very, very hard, and he was very favorite of Sripad Bhashyacharya. So at the age of 12, he became Bhashyacharya's best student. And in those days in India, great scholars will debate with each other, you know, to see who is more learned in Vedic scripture, which was actually to encourage other people to take up to the Vedic studies. While Yamunacharya was thus studying in the school of Bhashyacharya, there was a great scholar in the court of Pandya king. His name was Kolahal. So this Kolahal was great favorite of king of Pandya, because he could defeat any scholar in the region. In fact, the king had passed a decree, you know, that means a law, that any scholar who has been defeated by Kolahal has to pay tax to Kolahal, or he will be put to death. So Bhashyacharya was also one time defeated by Kolahal, and he was defeated by Kolahal, and he has to pay tax. But since Bhashyacharya was a very, very poor Brahmin, he didn't have money, so he could not pay tax for 2 years. So 2 years he could not pay any tax. And one day, when the Bhashyacharya was away from his school, and other students were also not there. There was only Yamunacharya who was there in the school. Some of the Kolahal's disciples, they came to collect texts from Bhasyacharya, and they came and told Yamuna, "Tell, where is your teacher?" And then Yamunacharya, as he gentle he was, he asked the question. He said, "May I know, sir, who has sent you here?" And then, if you ask somebody, like, you know, if a person who thinks that I am Alexander the Great, you know, and if you ask that great person that who are you, he feels offended. So this disciples of Kolahal, they got offended. They said, "What? You don't know who we are? We are the disciples of Kolahal, the greatest and the most erudite scholar in all of India. Indeed, Kolahal is the terror for all other scholars, and even great Pandya King is his obedient servant. He serves him. All those scholars defeated by Kolahal must pay a yearly tax, and those who don't pay the tax, they have to give their life." And then says that, "Has your teacher become insane that he dares to withhold payment for 2 years and not give any tax to Kolahal? Or he wants to challenge my master again?" Then he said that, "Just as a moth rushes into blazing fire, Kolahal will devour your teacher." And Yamunacharya, it is described, was very, very gentle, very kind-hearted, very, very humble soul. Indeed, he never picked up a fight with his fellow student in school. Now, generally, children in school, sometimes they fight. But he never fought with anybody. But he could not tolerate the insult for his Guru Maharaj, his teacher. He could not tolerate this insult. He said, "What is this? You know, how he is telling like this?" And then he understands that these people are fool, and Kolahal is also a fool. Why? Because these students are representing their guru. And, you know, whatever behavior a student does, you know, they actually take the name of the guru. So therefore, as a disciple also, sometimes we have to be very, very careful to behave in a particular way. Because if our behavior is not up to the mark, it will directly affect the name of Guru Maharaj. So we should be very, very careful. So Yamunacharya, he replied very strongly to Kolahal's messenger, and he told, "How foolish you are, and how foolish is your teacher, that I think that your teacher is the greatest fool." Why? Because he should train his disciple to curb the pride and all this thing. But I am seeing that instead of removing such quality from the heart, he is giving actually, you know, the fire to it. And therefore, why should my noble teacher debate with your teacher and waste his time? Go, tell your master that I am the most neophyte and the lowest disciples of Bhashyacharya, my Guru Maharaj. And I challenge Kolahal for a debate. If he dares to face me, let him send his reply at once. I will take a debate with your Kolahal. And this is actually astonished the disciples of Kolahal, because nobody in the whole province of South India could stand in front of Kolahal, and Kolahal had defeated so many people like that. So they were so dumbfounded, they couldn't understand what to say anything, and they returned back. Indeed, similar stories there in Vrindavan, as Krutum Prabhu had also come and, you know, he had told that all these Goswamis, all the very scholarly person, they were not interested in doing speculation and, you know, this kind of dry debate. So one time, although Roop Goswami, you know, our Acharya, he is the one of the most scholarly person, and he had written so many books. He was in Vrindavan, so one Digvijay Pandit came. And this Digvijay Pandit, he was carrying a Vijay Patra in his hand, and he will go to everyone to do debate, and whoever gets defeated, he has to sign the Vijay Patra. So when he came to Roop Goswami, he told that, "I want to debate with you." But Roop Goswami was not interested. He was interested in doing devotional service. He was not interested in dry speculation and mental debate. So he said, no, I can't do debate with you." Then this Digvijay Pandit told that, "If you don't do debate, then you have to sign that I have defeated you." So Roop Goswami immediately took the pen and he signed the Vijay Patra. He said that, "I accept defeat." And he went away. And this Digvijay Pandit went around the gullies of Vrindavan, and he was showing, "See, I defeated Roop Goswami." And he came in front of Sri Jeev Goswami. And Jeev Goswami, who was a student and nephew of Shripad Roop Goswami, he could not tolerate. He said that, "My Master Rupa Goswami can defeat this Digvijay Pandit in just matter of seconds actually. But out of his utter humility, he is accepting a defeat. But I will prove that Rupa Goswami is not defeated. So he starts defeating a debate with this Digvijay Pandit, and in matter of no time, he actually totally, you know, mashes and crashes his pride into powder, you know, and he defeats him thoroughly. And then when Rupa Goswami comes to know that Jiva Goswami has done like this, he becomes very angry. And he says, Jiva, I don't doubt your ability, but we should not engage in this kind of activity. And anyone who is interested in mental speculation or in mental debate or this kind of, you know, arguments, he is not fit to be stayed in Vrindavan. So I order you, please go out of Vrindavan. Don't come in the Vrindavan. So Jiva Goswami, although he did service to his Guru Maharaj, but with very heavy heart, he went out in Vrindavan. And then after some time, Sanatan Goswami, who was elder brother of Sri Rupa Goswami, came to know what had happened. And he went and chastised his younger brother, Sripad Rupa Goswami, and he told that, Rupa Goswami, why you are doing like this? Whatever Jiva Goswami has done, he has done to protect our name and, you know, to protect Vaishnavism. Why you are doing like this? And then he says that, Rupa Goswami, you are very kind on all the Jivas of the world, but you are not kind on one Jiva, you know, who is waiting out in Vrindavan. Please go and call back that Jiva. So that Jiva Goswami was called back by Rupa Goswami. So anyway, so when it comes to protect the name and the mission, you know, we must protect the name of Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, and the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Anyway, so this was the message was sent, and when the disciples of Kolahal went to Kolahal and told Kolahal what had happened, Kolahal could not help but laugh. He laughed, ha 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 ha. He said, this Yamuna, 12-year boy, he will have debate with me. I think he has gone crazy. He is insane. He will be. So this message was passed to the king. And the king actually, he thought that, you know, let me double check. That, you know, maybe this boy would have just in his impudency, he would have told that I will do debate. But let me see whether he is serious. So he sent another messenger to Yamunacharya. And when he came to know that Yamunacharya is firm in his decision, then he sent, you know, his messenger told, okay, bring Yamuna to do the debate. And Yamunacharya told to messenger, he said that, I will certainly obey the command of His Majesty the King, but if I am to be accepted as a proper opponent to Kolahal, then surely a connivance, you know, a Sena should come to me and I should be brought on a palanquin. You know, like that he put a condition. So everyone was shocked actually. But king discussed with his subject and he told, yeah, if somebody has to debate Kolahal, he has to be on that level only, then he can debate. And soon the news spread around Madurai and the South India that there is a debate between Yamunacharya and Kolahal. So everyone gathered actually, and they were all stunned that how come a 12-year-old boy will defeat and debate with, you know, all-devouring terror Kolahal. So everyone, they came. And there were few Brahmanas who were already defeated by Kolahal. So they were actually giving all the blessings to Yamuna. And they were saying that may Lord bless him and empower him to defeat and crush the pride of Kolahal into powder. So like that, you know, they were giving the blessings. And then when Bhashyacharya came to know what has happened, he became very, very, concerned. And he told Yamuna that, what you have done actually? Then he said that, no, my dear master, don't think there is no reason for you to be alarmed, because certainly by your grace I will go and I will crush the pride of Kolahal. I will defeat him. And then when palanquin came, Yamunacharya touched the feet of Bhasyacharya and then he boarded the palanquin to go to debate. A large crowd of people had gathered there in the long way to see, you know, what kind of debate. So it was kind of a, you know, huge, you know, like a you know, alarming news happening in the whole South India, and all the people they actually assembled, and as Maharaj describes, it was match of the match, you know, that cricket match is nothing in front of the match which was, you know, going to happen in front of Kolahal and Yamunacharya. So they all crowded there, and when all this thing was happening, there was party of Kolahal, and there were few supporters of Yamunacharya. So they were all making commotion, and there was so much of sound was coming. And the Brahmanas, they told that may you defeat this innocent Pandita, Kolahal, just as Vishnu in the form of a dwarf, Vamana, defeated, you know, Bali, like that. So while all this was going on,
there was again a difference of opinion between the king and the queen. The king, Pandya king and the queen, they actually broke into an argument, and the king said, because he loved Kolahal much, he said, just as a cat plays with a mouse, this Kolahal will defeat and destroy this Yamuna. And then king, the queen, she was more thoughtful, and realizing that Yamunacharya was not an ordinary boy, she said that just as a small spark of fire burns into ashes the whole mountain of cloth, in the same way this spark of Yamuna will crush the pride which is like a mountain of Kolahal. So like this, you know, there was a debate, and then king said, oh, you are saying like this, then you have to, you know, make some bet. Then queen said that, okay, if Kolahal wins, I will become the servant of the maid servant of your servants. The king said, oh, this is very, very, you know, kind of a very great challenge you have put, but I will also not be, you know, behind. So I promise that if Yamuna defeats Kolahal, then I will give half the kingdom to Yamunacharya. So then queen, she was very happy. And when Kolahal came in the debate, in the arena, and he looked at Yamuna, and then he looked at the queen, because he knew that queen was supporting Yamuna, and he told, Alavandara, that means this is the boy who has come to defeat me, Alavandara. And the queen said, yes, Alavandara, he is one who will defeat you. So like that, when the actual argument started, Kolahal started debate by putting small, simple questions in front of Yamunacharya, and Yamunacharya defeated all these questions. Then he started putting hard questions in front of Yamunacharya. Yamuna defeated those hard questions also. So he started putting more hard questions actually, whatever he could do, more difficult questions like that he was giving, and Yamunacharya was defeating all questions like anything. And ultimately, Yamunacharya told, he said, my dear Kolahal, because I am just a young boy, you are insulting me by asking simple questions. Indeed, Kolahal was asking most difficult question he could ask, you know, in his whole life. He was asking those kind of question, but Yamuna told that you are asking simple questions. You remember Ashtavakra, you know, no older than myself, he defeated the Pandit in the court of Janak Maharaj. So if you consider that a person's intelligent by his size, then you are not better than a water buffalo. No, tum bhains se bhi achha nahi hai. Like that, you know, he told, and now he became so angry, but he restrained his anger. And he told, he said, okay, okay, well answered, well answered. You know, you have given proper answer to my questions. Now, it is your turn to ask question to me. And Yamunacharya said, very well, I will ask just three questions, three propositions I will put in front of you. If you defeat and refute these three propositions, I will accept defeat. So then Kolahal said, you put your propositions and I will defeat like this. No matter. He was so proud. So Yamunacharya, he said, that okay, now hear my first proposition and you should refute this. ये जो मैं कह रहा हूँ, मेरे पहले प्रस्ताव को मैं रख रहा हूँ और इस प्रस्ताव का तुम खंडन करो. No, please defeat this proposition. And he said, my first proposition is, he spoke out very very clearly and boldly. He said that your mother is not a barren woman. Refute if you can. You know, the proposition is that तुम्हारी माँ बांझ नहीं है. ये इसको गलत साबित करो. Refute this proposition. So hearing this, Kolahal remained silent. He could not say anything. Why? Because he said that had my mother been barren, how I am born? You know, अगर मेरी माँ बांझ होती तो मैं कैसे पैदा हुआ? So how you know, I am, my birth would not have been possible. He thought deeply, and then he could not answer. He said that how can I refute that my mother is not a barren woman? And then Yamunacharya, he put second proposition. He said that, okay, my second proposition is this. Okay, you cannot refute the first proposition. I am putting the second proposition in front of you. Prove that Pandya king is supremely righteous and pious. Refute this. You know, that Pandya king is supremely righteous and he is a pious king. Refute this. And Kolahal, he became disturbed. He said, what is this? How can I refute and prove wrong that king is righteous and pious? That means he is unpious and unrighteous. He is not proper. So then he became very, very angry, but he remained silent and he restrained his anger, but his anger can be seen from his cheeks and all. So he remained silent there. And then Yamunacharya said, oh, you cannot defeat my second proposition. Now I put forth my third proposition. Refute this. Here is my third proposition, that the queen of the Pandya king, you know, the wife of the Pandya king, is as chaste and faithful to her husband as Savitri. Refute this if you can. And, you know, he's hearing this, he became very, very angry. He said, how can I defeat that, you know, king's wife is unchaste? Is, you know? He said, it's impossible. So he actually got up and started shouting on Yamuna. He said, you rascal! How can any loyal subject say that the king is unrighteous or his queen is unfaithful to her husband? It is true that I have not replied to your question, but that does not mean that I am defeated. First, you must refute your own proposition, and if you cannot, then you must die. You must be put to death, because the implication of your words are such that a person who speaks any words like this must be, you know, put to death. And he started shouting, and there was a commotion in the crowd. The Kolahal's party, they shouted, yes, 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 what Kolahal is saying is correct, what Kolahal is saying is correct. And here, who are supporting Yamunacharya, they were saying, no, that was not the arrangement, that was not the part of argument. The arrangement was, Yamunacharya will ask question and Kolahal has to refute. If he cannot refute, he is defeated. He cannot ask to refute Yamunacharya, his propositions. No, there is nothing. So they all started shouting at one another, and, you know, there is a huge commotion going on. Then Yamunacharya, he stood up and he said, no, Shanti, 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 you know, please be quiet. No problem. He said, although it is not the arrangement that I should refute my proposition, nonetheless, I will refute my own proposition and defeat Kolahal. Then he said that everyone then, you know, when Yamunacharya said this, everyone was amazed. He said that how can Yamunacharya refute his own proposition and yet not offend the king? He said that it is very amazing, and they all with repentance and started hearing what Yamunacharya was saying. Then he said that, oh dear Kolahal, my first statement was that your mother is not a barren woman. Okay, however, it is stated in Manu Samhita that a woman who has only one child is to be considered barren. Matlab Manu Samhita mein batate hain ki ek jo mata hai, agar usko ek hi putra prapt hota hai, to wo bans kahi ja sakti hai. It is stated in Manu Samhita that a woman who has only one child is to be considered barren. As your mother gave birth to only one son, your great self, you know, and therefore according to Shastra, according to Manu Samhita, she must be considered as a barren woman. And everyone started shouting, Haribol, Haribol, started clapping, yeah, wow. And then he said, and Kolahal could not say anything. Then he said that, secondly, I stated that the king of the Pandya is the most righteous man. However, according to Manu Samhita, that a king enjoys the benefit of 1/6 of the religion, of the religious act of his subjects, but also he has to bear the burden of 1/6 of their sinful deeds. Meaning he will enjoy the pious credit of 1/6 of all the subjects, and also the pious, the sinful act which the subject does. So he says that although our king, who is pious, compassionate, righteous, very noble, very nice, you know, he gives proper judgment, everything is there, he is very pious in his personal life, there is no problem, there is nothing wrong with him, but because he is sharing 1/6 of the pious activity and 1/6 of the impious activity, and because it is Kali Yuga, people are more impious than pious, the king is to be considered as impious man. So everyone shouted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They were so happy that he has defeated. And Kolahal, he could not do. And the king, he was actually looking with so much of happiness. And the queen was also looking at Yamuna. And then he said, now hear my third refutation to my proposition. He said that I stated that our queen is as chaste and faithful as Savitri. Again, referring back to Manu Samhita, as per the laws of the Manu, it is said the king is the representative of Agni, Vayu, Surya, Chandra, Yam, Kuver, Varun and Indra. Therefore, since king is representing these all eight demigods, it is assumed, since king is the representative, that the queen is also married to all these eight demigods, you know, serving the eight demigods. So queen is not married to just one person, but married to these eight more demigods whom the king is representing. And therefore, how can we say that the queen is chaste? And hearing this, everyone started clapping, shouting, saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And the queen, she got up from her seat and loudly shouted, Ala Bandara! That means he is the conqueror. He is the conqueror. He has defeated Kolahal. And the king also immediately jumped from his throne, went and embraced Yamunacharya. And he shouted, Ala Bandara. And he said, just as the rising of the sun, all the insignificant stars fade away. So, O learned Ala Bandara, you have conquered the proud Kolahal by your learning and the skill. And then he said that this fellow, just shortly before, he was demanding your death. Now I put Kolahal in your custody. Deal with him as you like. Whatever you want to do, you do. But obviously Yamunacharya, as a humble soul he was, he actually forgave Kolahal. So this is a great Vaishnava quality, forgiveness. So he forgave. If he wanted, he could have put Kolahal to death. But he forgave Kolahal. And then there was actually match between queen and the king, and the queen has promised that I will become servant of your servant if Kolahal wins. And king said that I will give half of my kingdom to Yamunacharya. So king, he kept his promise and gave half of his kingdom to Yamunacharya. That means king and Yamunacharya both became equal kings. So at the age of 12, Yamunacharya became a queen, king. And then he was very much, you know, involved in his kingly affairs. And then when the neighboring king saw that just a 12-year boy has become a king, they find it as a fine opportunity to invade and plunder his land. So they were actually trying to attack on Yamunacharya's kingdom. But Yamunacharya was also very expert, so he had kept his spies everywhere. And through his spies he came to know that before even he could march against Yamunacharya actually arranged a strong army and defeated all those kings who were planning to attack. So this is actually a strategy to defeat somebody, that somebody who is trying to do something or is trying to attack, you become prepared before him and go and attack him so that he can't do anything. But obviously in Western society we don't take this strategy, because Vaishnavas never compete, actually they serve. So they were all forced to surrender to Yamunacharya, and Yamuna became more powerful king. And like this, he was actually engaged in his kingly activity. In the meanwhile, Nath Muni, who was very, very old, he was about to die. So he was very, very happy and satisfied in his life. But he called one of the confidential disciples, Ram Mishra, and he told that I don't have any desire in my life, but the only thing I am desiring is my grandson Yamunacharya, who is also known as Ala Bandara. Because of engagement of his kingly activities, he has totally forgotten about the the message of Bhagavad Gita, and he is actually not on the path of devotion. He is actually gone away of the path of devotion. So I request you, O Ram Mishra, that please you go and bring back Yamunacharya on the path of devotion, because Yamunacharya at that time, we are not going in detail, he had actually kind of not doing his sadhana properly. He was not studying the scriptures, he was not serving the Vaishnavas and things like that. He was too much engaged, because at the young age he became king, so he was too much passionate to expand his kingdom. So now he said that now I am preparing to give up my life, I request you to please take care of Yamuna. And he left his body. So when at that time Yamunacharya was 35 years old when Nath Muni passed away, so Ram Mishra went to have an interview with Yamunacharya. But when he went, he saw that Yamunacharya is surrounded by so many kingly people, so many people are at his doorsteps asking for charity, begging, all these things. And then he understood that I have come from nowhere, I will not be recognized, I will not be able to reach the king. So he was very intelligent, so he said that I will plan accordingly. He was also learned in Ayurveda. So there is one vegetable which is known as tuduvalai. So tuduvalai, which grows in some part of South India, this is very famous for developing the quality of goodness in a man, making his mind very peaceful and serene. So he thought that if I give this tuduvalai vegetable to king, he will become little calm, come out of his passion, and I will be able to convey the message. So then he started preparing this tuduvalai and went to the royal cook, and he told, please accept this vegetable, this is for king, I don't want anything in return, I just want king's welfare, so please give this vegetable to the king. And the royal cook was also very expert, and he could recognize you know, this is a very important item. Like, you know, some devotees are very expert. When they saw, see oregano, thyme or basil, you know, they become very happy. Oh, this is very nice for doing some pizza preparation or something. So he immediately took tadubalai and he went, prepared it very nicely, gave it to the king. And the king Yamuna, he also liked this preparation and he was very happy to have this preparation every day. So he told, you know, please give me. So for 2 consecutive months, this vegetable was served to king. And when Ramakrishna understood that now the king has become habituated of this tadubalai, one day specifically he didn't come. And you know, he didn't come to give this vegetable to royal cook. And then Yamunacharya asked that day, he said, what happened? Where is that tadubalai? I want that vegetable. So he said that, no, today that saint has not come, so I could not prepare it. Then he said, who sent? Who is giving this? Then he said, there is some saintly person who is coming. Then Yamunacharya asked, what price he is asking? He said, he is not asking any price. He is just telling me that he is your well-wisher and he just wants you to be happy and healthy ruling your kingdom. So Yamunacharya says, okay, who is he? Please, you know, bring the sadhu to me when he comes next. Then next day when Ramakrishna came, the royal cook took Ramakrishna to the Yamunacharya, and Yamunacharya he actually fell at the feet of Ramakrishna, seeing him as sadhu. He said that, I am your servant. Please accept my humble obeisances at your feet. I have heard that every day you are gathered and bring this tadubalai to me and will accept no payment for this service. What is this? I have never seen anybody not take, you know, payment for you. So then hearing this, Ramakrishna said that I have something very important to tell you, but it must be in private. So all the cooks, they walked out. Just 5-10 minutes. So I'm not telling that you are, but I'm just saying that it is, sorry. So he said that I have to tell it in private only. So all the cook and they all disappeared. And then Nath Muni told, Ramakrishna told the message of Nath Muni. He said that, oh my dear king, your grandfather Nath Muni, he has left in this world a treasure for you. And before going to Vaikuntha, he came to me and he told that, you know, I want you to take this treasure and give it to my grandson Yamuna, because I love my grandson very much, Yamuna. So at that time, Yamunacharya was very pleased to hear this and he was preparing for a campaign against a rebellious king. So he was in great need of money. He said, yeah, please give me, where is the treasure? I will come immediately, give me. Then he said that, but for taking this treasure, you have to come with me. And this treasure is kept within 7 walls between 2 rivers. It is guarded by a great serpent and a demon, a yaksha. He comes every 12 years and worships, he actually takes care of this treasure. And this treasure can be opened by chanting a mantra. So he became very happy and he could not understand that what Ramakrishna is trying to tell. Actually, the Ramakrishna was what trying to tell. He was describing the beauty of Sri Ranganath, because Ranganath is that treasure which is situated beyond 7 walls. So if you go to Sri Rangam temple, there are 7 walls in the temple. It's a huge temple, one of the largest, I think the largest temple of India. You have to enter 7 walls inside. And it is on the sides of 2 rivers. So the 2 rivers are flowing near Sri Ranganath Swami temple. And it is guarded by a great serpent, Anantashesh. So Lord Vishnu, he is lying, laying on the Anantashesh. And this treasure can be found only by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the mantra. So like that he was describing, but Yamunacharya could not understand. So Alavandara, he was going in, he said, I will just take my army and go. He said, no, army cannot go there. Only you have to come alone with me, then only you will find this treasure. So Ramakrishna was very intelligent. He took Yamunacharya and they were walking from Madurai. They started walking to Sri Rangam. And they were walking, and at that one point, they started taking some rest. And while Yamunacharya was taking the rest, Ramakrishna started reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And as he was reading from Bhagavad Gita with his own very sweet voice, with lot of compassion, you know, this Yamunacharya, he was very, very scholarly person, very devoted. He was reading Bhagavad Gita. But since many, many, years, he had not been in touch with Bhagavad Gita. He was not studying. So again, when, he heard the songs of the Lord, the divine words, his devotion started arising in his heart. And he actually felt something different. And then, as he realized what Ramakrishna was speaking, He realized the illusory nature of his position as a king, and he understood how he was neglecting his real duty, real goal of his life. And then he ran in front of the Ram Mishra, fell at his feet, and he told that, "Please accept me as your servant, that I want to continuously release the sweet nectar of Bhagavad Gita, the words of Lord Sri Krishna. And now, since I am hearing from you, the pleasure of this worldly life seems pale and insignificant." Indeed, Prabhupada quotes Sripad Yamunacharya many times in Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where he is saying that Yamunacharya is praying that when I look at the lotus, you know, figure, lotus form of the Lord, all the, you know, pleasure of the material world, like sex life, you know, becomes very insignificant. And just at the thought of, you know, the sex pleasure, my tongue actually twills, and I started spitting on this thought. So like that, you know, Yamunacharya has spoken. So then he says that whatever duties I might have done in the world, I, you know, just surrender. So Ram Mishra said, "Okay, if you are, you know, having so much of interest, why don't we sit down here and discuss?" So he was taking this opportunity, and they started discussing for 7 days Bhagavad Gita. Again and again he was reciting. And one time when Ram Mishra came at the 8th verse of 12th chapter, and he, you know, started reciting, "Maya eva mana adha adhastva mayi buddhim niveshaya niveshasi mayi eva et ata udharam na samshaya." He says, "Just fix your mind upon me, the personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt." When Yamunacharya heard this, he totally surrendered to Ram Mishra, and he says that, "I renounced this world on this date. Alas, I have wasted my life so much that now the songs of Bhagavad Gita, the word of Lord Krishna, has again arisen in my heart, and I want to fix my mind completely at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna." And then Ram Mishra, he said that, "Your Majesty, your pure mind rests always on the lotus feet of the Lord. Just for a short time, it has been captivated by the worldly desires. As a small cloud obscures the sun's ray for a short time, now that the cloud has almost gone, the sun will again shine and dispel the darkness from your heart." And then Alabandara said that, "I don't want that treasure for what we are traveling. You please initiate me here only, and I will surrender my life to you." So Ram Mishra said, "No, I have promised Nath Muni that I must deliver this treasure to you. So it is my order, you please accept this treasure, and then whatever you do, whatever you want to do." And then when they went inside, so they crossed 7 gates of Sri Rangam temple, and they went just in front of the main altar. And then he said that, "Just see Yamuna in front of us, lying on the bed of Anantashesh, is the treasure that was your grandfather's only property. Sri Ranganath Swami, the Lord of Lakshmi Devi, the most beautiful of all the personalities." Hearing this word, Yamunacharya ran, and he ran fast and fell at the feet of Sri Ranganath Swami and started crying profusely, tears flowing from his eyes like torrents of rain. His body started shivering, and he chanted Lord's name, and then he became a devotee. Then he renounced his kingdom. He gave part of his kingdom to Pandya kings, part of his kingdom to, you know, the service of Lord Ranganath. He received the 8th syllable mantra from his guru, Om Namo Narayanaya, and he started practicing the devotional service. And after the disappearance of his guru, Alabandara, Sripad Yamunacharya, he was accepted as the head of Vaishnava community, as Acharya of Srirangam, you know. And then he wrote actually 4 books on Vaishnava philosophy, and he wrote many prayers in glorification of the Supreme Lord. And in particular, he was devoted to the writings of Inchester Namma Alwar, as Nath Muni was. And then all the devotees in South India adored Sripad Yamunacharya for his renunciation, his learning, his humility, his steadfast devotion. Indeed, Sripad Ramanacharya, who is the main, the head of the Sri Sampradaya, he accepted Sripad Yamunacharya as his Lord and Master. So Sripad Yamunacharya ki, Sripad Ramanacharya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gurudev ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Tai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki. So, just small announcement I would like to make here. We will have now Kirtan for some time, then we will have Prabhupada Arti and Guru Arti. Yesterday was the birthday of Hemant Prabhu,
So whoever came to attend Bhanu Swami Maharaj's program, we wished him there. So he is there with us. So we wish him today also. And also today is the birthday of Kishori. So we will wish Kishori also all the best. And after the program, we have arranged for some cake for Hemant Prabhu and Kishori. So we will cut the cake. So we request all the devotees to please participate. And we will wish Hemant and Kishori all the very best in their spiritual life by 3 times chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.